Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Search us right now. If there's something in our life that does not belong there, search us, Lord Jesus, and remove those pages, remove those things from our life that keeps us from you. We know that this is a holy moment. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We submit ourselves humbly to you, Lord. Lord, you do the work that only you can do. In this house, I thank you that you're a God of miracles, that miracles will happen in this house today. It is, you are a now God. Today, this minute, you're touching people. Just be still and know that he's God. Just be still for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence that's in this house. This is what we live for. These moments with you, Lord. We want you, Lord Jesus. We want you today more than life itself. We want what you have, not what this world has to offer. We want you, Lord Jesus. We lay everything down. We put everything aside. I thank you for a move of God in this house. Today, and it starts with us. We prepare a place for you, Lord Jesus. We know that you're working on a place for us, but we take a minute and we prepare a place for you to come down here today to be with us, your creation. We will be obedient. We will worship you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for moving today in this house. I thank you for the testimonies that are coming. I believe they are starting today, right now. There will be healing. There will be miracles. There will be restoration. There will be deliverance. Because where Jesus shows up, he brings everything with him. Every power, every anointing. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts that you've put in this house. They are here. The miracle is in the house. We declare it. We believe it by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Worship God. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stay in an attitude of worship. We are going to roll right into communion. It is our first Sunday of the praise God. I love communion. And if you were here when I gave my last message about 3 weeks ago, we talked about who we are as congregation. How we live is community or common unity. And one of the features of community is communion in the church and the congregation. And this is a common union where we put aside everything that makes us who we are as an individual. So think about everything that you are, everything you've done, how people know you, what your views are, because it doesn't matter if you're pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, it doesn't matter what political persuasion you are, it doesn't matter what your title is at work, it doesn't matter what you do for a living, it doesn't matter. When we come into common union, it's all about Jesus. And they're going to pass out the elements and take them and keep passing them down. It's a holy moment. Because If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is what we all come back to. The presence of God, Jesus Christ, our salvation. He's our hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our common union together. This is the tie that ties us in brother and sisterhood. This is the thing we all have in common with each other, is what Jesus Christ has done in our life, what he's already done on the cross. So if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can take communion with us. We encourage it. We're up an open communion here. So even if you go to a different church, you can join us here. And if you haven't, I suggest that you say yes to Jesus right now. It's just as simple as saying, yes, Jesus. We make it complicated. But all you got to do is say yes. All you got to do is say Jesus. And that's it. It's that simple. If Jesus were here today, he would say that to you. All you got to do is say my name, and you are right. You are now righteous. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. As we've come together in common union together today, one of the great things about what Jesus did, this was the last thing he did with the disciples before he was killed. And he said, I want you to remember me every time you do this. Remember what I've done for you. He loved us when we were unlovable. He came even though we didn't deserve it. That's the kind of God we serve. He doesn't hold anything over us. He says, you know what? I love them. And I'm going to give myself for them, even though they don't even know who I am or even care. But in Acts chapter 2, when they got together, in communion together, as they listened to the apostles and their teaching, they had everything in common. And signs and wonders followed the teaching of the Word of God. This is the act that we do in the physical that represents what's going on in the spiritual right now in the heavenlies, where we put ourselves aside and we look inwardly at ourselves and we judge ourselves and say, am I right with God? And then in common union together, when we take this body, Jesus said, my body's going to be broken for you. And I know the enemy's out there. And you are going to need to be healed at some point. You're going to be broken at some point. The devil's going to oppress you at some point. But I believe when we do this, we come in common union together with Jesus, the center of it all. Our hope, his glory. And when we do some simple act like believing that when we take this bread together as a family in common union, that the healing that we need, we will receive it into our body. So as you think of yourself and your life and what you've been praying to God to do so wholeheartedly and faithfully in your life, picture whatever that is, whatever healing you need, whatever you need from God that's missing, whatever has been broken or stolen by the enemy, you can get it back today. As we take this bread together, I believe that whatever you need from Jesus, you will get in the Spirit today. I believe it's this powerful. This is why Jesus gave this to us. It's holy and it's powerful. How good it is that thy brothers dwell in unity together. So as we take it right now, believe that you receive whatever you need from Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I receive it. Everything you've done for me, Lord. And he didn't stop there. He took the cup and he said, you're going to sin, you're going to mess up. And the world's a wreck. And it's going to get really dark out there. But take heart, because if it gets dark out there, the light's going to get brighter in here. That's you, believers. In common union, we receive what Jesus Christ did on the cross. His blood was shed so all of our sins will be eternally covered, never to come back. He's not going to bring them up ever again. It is now under the blood. And I believe as we take this together, no matter what you've done in the last 24 hours, whatever mistakes you've made, it will be covered by the blood of Jesus. And as we take it together, I believe you will receive forgiveness in your life. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you for the work that you're doing in this house today. Thank you for every believer who's joined us in common union together today. Lord, by blessing us, I expect to hear testimonies of what's happened in the house today. And as people share them, your word says in Revelation that they overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, which was already done, and the word of your testimony. That's what causes us to triumph in Christ. We've received the blood today. That work is done. All we need now is your testimony to make it complete and destroy the works of the enemy. So share your testimony. If God's healed you today, tell somebody. Encourage someone in the Lord. I believe it happened today in this house because God is that good. Amen. Amen. All right. Pastor Barry, come up here.
Wow. What a beautiful picture of God's mercy. Thank you, Lord God. Give the band a huge hand, will you? Sensitive spirit up here. Wow. The picture that Pastor Carl just drew, the verbal picture of the beauty of the mercies of God and how beautiful it is. He mentioned that, you know, the errors that we've made, whether by wrong choices or just mistakes, things that we need to bring before the Lord. You know, just as by faith we receive that communion, we receive the effect of the blood of Jesus Christ. He removes our sin as far as east is, not my words, his words. He removes our sin as far as east is from the west, never to be remembered against us. And that what's amazing about this, and I've shared this with you in the past several times before I get into today's message. I just want to share this with you. It is an amazing thing how, listen to this, God forgives and he casts that sin away from us. Get that picture. He casts our past, our nasty past away from us. Is it just a little hot? Just tell me if it is, just a smidget. So he casts it as far, I know it is just a smidget here, but he casts our sin as far as east is from the west. Perfect, perfect. And he removes that from us. And so here's what we need to remember, because we do remember, that when we see it again, it's not him waving it like a red flag in front of a bull. You get the picture. It's not him that's bringing us. He's the one that had the authority and the only one that had the authority to remove it from us and cast our history of sin and separation from him and disgusting history. He's the only one that has the authority to cast it from us. But we have the ability, because we have a memory, to go fishing in the sea called forget. And many of us spend much of our time standing at the sea called forget and going in. Sometimes we even pull somebody else's junk out of there. Well, I didn't know that about him. Well, I never heard that. When did that happen? He did that? When did he do? He did that 22 years ago. Well, did they deal with it then? I mean, sometimes we go fishing and we throw it out there and we start reeling it in because we got a hold of some information, not just ours. Can I tell you what? There's a no fishing sign at the sea called Forget. If it ain't yours anymore, leave it in there. If it never was yours, run from it. Don't be judging anybody's past in Jesus' name, and not yours either in Jesus' name. It's not, let me just use today's verbiage. Can I do this a little bit? It's not stinking yours. It's stinking, but it's not stinking yours. It's stinking God's. And he dealt with it. Listen, he deals with all sin. The Bible says he will judge the living and the dead. All things will be judged. So for those of us who have this gift of fishing, oh, I just can't get past what I did. Can I tell you, your sin is not that good. You're not that impressive. I tell people this all the time. Your tongues aren't that impressive. God's the author of them. Am I right, Pastor Harvey? Before anybody else gets mad at me, the guy's been a brother in the Assemblies of God for many years. I've known him since I was 12. Everything happened when I was 12. But I've known him since I was 12, and that is true. He remembers the watermelon fight you and I had when I was 12 years old. Yeah. So he does remember that. I threw watermelon on him, and he threw it back. Go Pastor Harvey. But God has this amazing thing about him called mercy, this trait of God. By the way, when he created us in his image, did he not give us his traits? And so when man fell, and at the fall of man, I believe in the literal fall of man, I believe when sin, because the Bible teaches this, when sin came into us, we adopted traits in rebellion to the traits of God. And we have a war going on at all times called the flesh and the spirit. It's called the traits of God versus the traits of man. If you've never had that picture before, I haven't. The Holy Spirit just gave it to me. I mean, that's the first time I've said that in my life. That is the Holy Spirit showing. We have the traits of God at war with the traits of sin, the sinful nature of the flesh. And we have to decide whose traits are we going to bear. Are we going to look more like Jesus? You know the military, was it the army that had the commercial? Be all that you can be. No, don't do that. I know what they mean. And by the way, I love the United States Army. I love the military of the United States. But listen, that isn't it. It's be the best Jesus you can be. Amen. It's not being the best you can be. It's you and I being the best Jesus we can be together. And so that is, I just believe that God deserves a huge hand. I mean, I the mercies of God is, this isn't about did Barry say it well. This is about did God do it well? Did God do it well? Not did Barry say it well. Did God do it well? I'm coming down here just for a second. I'm going to come down here. I'm going to pick up some trash, first of all, because you know what? When you invest much, what's the word say? Where your treasures are, there your heart is also. I got a lot of sweat and blood in this house that God gave us of prayer. How much sweat have you got? How much investment in your heart do you have in other people? If you're not investing in other people, you're not going to care about other people. God invested in you and me back at the cross. He invested in us big time. He created us in the garden. He invested in us big time. And he was determined, though man adopted traits that were never supposed to be ours, called sin, called fear, called stress. You wonder why we're on blood pressure medicine? Because we adopted traits that were never ours. We never were supposed to be under stress. These bodies were never supposed to have heart attacks, because you and I, we had paradise. And I don't blame Grandma and Grandpa Adam and Eve. I don't blame anybody. I'm just saying I'm responsible for my own sin, my own stress and all that. I do it well without anybody's help. But man adopted things, traits that were never meant to be ours. And you know what that did? It started giving us choices. What happened? If you read the book of Genesis, early part of Genesis, what you'll find out is all of a sudden, you know, Eve was told, you know what the enemy brought to Eve was actually some levels of great truth. You will have knowledge like God of good and evil. You'll know things that you're not even exposed to now. Boy, that sounds like a great parent, doesn't it? How many of you parents have told your children, don't you get on the internet? Don't you dare get on the internet when I'm not home. I don't want you exposed to something you don't need to see. Doesn't it sound like a great parent? Who do we get that trait from? We got a good, good father. We got a good, good father. He gave us protective nature over our children, and that's what he did with us in the garden. He said, don't Google this tree. You get the picture? Don't Google the tree. Stay off of Google. Don't Google the information that comes from this tree. You do that. Don't go. Every one of us are doing this search engine all the time. More information. Man wants more information. This isn't even my message yet. But we want more information and we're hitting Google all the time. What are we doing? I said it last week. Why, you think Apple's got a bit Apple as an accident for their logo? It's information. Information. Overload. You want information you've never had before. Take a bite. Get the picture. Or do you want a bite of Jesus? Start getting into the bread of life. I mean, what do you want to bite into? Information or Jesus? He'll give you all the information you need. You want to trust your parents? Because they'll give you all the information you need. Just as you get old enough to absorb it. I'm not kidding you. Let me just say this one time. One time years ago, Gina was sitting right there by me. I was on the internet and we were getting ready. If you know anything, don't shout this out because I don't want to give information away from this platform or in this room that should not be given out. But years ago, we had a youth group going to the White House and I got on Google and I Googled White House. And another, you know, I finished the address improperly. But I finished the address. And I'm sitting there looking at things I had never seen before. Now, I'm not going to give you the rest of the address, okay? But I was innocently Googling. And all I know is, I said, Gina, I got no idea. But if that's in the White House, we got a problem. If that's what's going on in the White House, we got a problem. I won't tell you what era that was in. But I said, we got a problem. And she's like, how did you get there? I said, don't yell at me. Look at the top. I typed that. Well, neither one of us knew what you don't type. So ignorance is not bliss. But what that did, let me go back to. Part of what that did was gave us choices. I get in so much trouble up here. I'm telling you. Somebody's going to come to me. Don't you give that information again. Ignorance, or for us rather, we are always in this pursuit of information. Because since the garden, we have longed for information. We've longed for information. And can I tell you what I've seen take place? Because God has told us in His Word these things would take place. Priorities would change. Things would grab our attention. Things would distract us. Because our lives would get busier. Because the more information we have, the more information we have to. I'm not against information. I have a lot of information. I have too much information. I could preach till tonight on the information I have. But if you'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, I want to ask you how important in your priorities is God still? I believe that you're here for a reason. I believe that somewhere in your life you chose that God was your priority. I believe that I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. Most of you in this room, you're here today because at some point you chose that God is your priority. But as life goes, we all know, you get married, things happen, our lives go fast, you take on new jobs, there's more stresses, there's more training. I've never spent so much time in training. I spent 9 years in Bible college. Because it took me that long to get through what was called then the Berean, now it's called Global University. It took me 9 years to get through that. And that's after I spent, a year going to hairstyling school. My parents owned a hairstyling salon, or six of them, and I went to International Hair Institute. That was my family's hairstyling college. I've spent my life gathering information, and I can tell you that today, seriously, all of those things that I've learned have brought me back to one thing. Jesus Christ must be my main priority. I've done wrong things. I've been blessed to do right things. I've made wrong decisions, and I've been blessed to make right decisions. And one thing I have learned, that Jesus, what I do with Him, is the only thing that really matters. Really, all of the rest of it can fall into place. And if I've left Christ out, nothing else matters. Matthew chapter 6, turn in your Bibles there with me if you would. And I'm going to add a little bit to what I sent to you guys. I'm going to start at verse 25, Teresa, just so you know if you want to jump in on it. This is Jesus talking about priorities in the book of Matthew. And he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. It is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air and do they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them? Are you not much more valuable than they? You see, can I tell you something? Part of our worry is we don't believe that God will really, listen to me. We don't have faith that God really cares about us personally. There are times we actually believe we're under so much duress, so much stress, so many things going wrong. We believe that God does not care about us personally. Who by worrying, it says, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, let me just stop right there. There are people who, and I want to stop right there at, what is that, just, it's the end of 31. I want to address something real quick, because I've had several people say this to me in the last, actually several months, and I've heard it for years. Barry, I really struggle with my faith. My faith is really being challenged today. Can I just tell you, in Jesus' name, and I'm not being unkind, I'm not being insensitive, I'm really not. You have faith. You do have faith. He instilled faith in you. He has promised us that every man is given a measure of faith. You and I have faith today. Now, sometimes we have misplaced faith. Sometimes we struggle with, but I promise you, did all of you come in an automobile today? You did come. You didn't have a horse and buggy, you know, bring you to church today, right? You did come by way of, did you trust Goodyear to actually make a product that car could actually, you know, safely get you from A to B, from point A to point B? Did you trust that General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, whatever model you're driving, did you trust, seriously, you got your family riding in these things going 60 stinking miles an hour down the highway? I don't know about it. If I'm looking at this going, I don't want you and the girls to be in this thing, you know? I don't know if I trust it. No, we get in. We close the door. We rev the engine. We throw it and drive and take off. And some of us, you know, tear out tires. You never did that now, did you? Listen, last time, how many of you have flown in the last year? You've actually been on an airplane. Did you not trust the pilots? When he's doing, by the way, remember my takeoff song? Get it ready. Do you remember my takeoff? Okay, I'm gonna play it for you. I got a takeoff song every time I take off in an airplane because I got to be distracted. You see, I write a new verse to Near My God to Thee every time I take off in an airplane. I really do. I'm not real thrilled. There's a certain amount of faith. Tell me when you're ready. Raise your hand, Beth. There's a certain amount of faith. That takes, do you trust the control towers? Do you know up there we could run into each other? You know what the pilot said to us in Haiti. Last time we were in Haiti and we're trying to take off. You know what the pilot says to us? We were 3 hours on the tar pit. Or what's that called? Tarmac. Tar pit. We weren't in a tar pit, I promise. We were 3 hours on the tarmac. There's no edit left. We don't do edit anymore. And the pilot says the reason that we're late is because the control towers in Atlanta can't see us. So if we get in the air, no one will see us. We don't know if it's our computer, and we're going, don't go. Don't take off. Don't leave the tarmac until somebody gets us off. And he's saying, we're not even on their radar screen. And we're like, you know what we're doing? We're expressing faith. You get the picture. And when he says, we're good to go, as God is my witness, 60 to 80%, you know, coming out of coming out of Latin America, 60-80% are on this, are Catholic, Roman Catholics. God bless them. And they're you know, I saw it halfway up in the air. I was doing, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to get there and I want to land well. Whatever it takes, Jesus, in Jesus' name. But what was I doing? I was expressing faith. Okay. And I hear, and I'm thinking, what in the world? And it's the woman next to me having a panic attack. Her faith wasn't as great as mine. We all have faith. There we go. There's my takeoff song. I'm sorry, raw as it is. Smoke on the water. Thank you very much. That's my takeoff song. Ooh, don't get me in the mood. Okay. Okay, now you get the picture. Thank you so much. I love our tech people. They are on top of things. We all, now Jesus is saying, guys, you got such little faith in me. No, it's not that you don't have faith. You don't have faith in me. You don't have faith in the Father. He takes care of all the fields and he takes care of all the lilies in the valley, dresses them beautifully, adorns them better than Solomon. You don't trust God. And that's what he's saying to us. We don't at times trust God. He said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. I love that honesty. It's going to worry about itself. It's going to bring its own problems, I promise you. He even said, if you follow me, you're going to have trouble. It's what he said. He's a God of his promises, and that's one of his promises. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. No, not ever. And by the way, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have a lot of problems. But don't worry about tomorrow. It'll worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Go back to what or who are we prioritizing? How important is God really in your life on a daily, hourly business? How intimate are you walking with your wife, with your God on a daily and intimate business? Do you know his voice? Do you know his voice? I had somebody ask me this week when I said, you know, God spoke this to me. How do you know God spoke that to you? Well, I know this. And the Spirit brings to me things he has said. I know his voice. Now I know this. When I hear this voice, you dirty, nasty, wretched sinner. How dare you proclaim Jesus' name? Whose voice is that? That's the enemy. I know, because this isn't what he would say. It's not in line with his character trait of mercy, grace, love. No, wait a minute. This is consistent with Jesus was known for hanging out with who? What was his reputation? A friend of?
Sinners.
About 30 of us. No, okay. A friend of sinners. He hung around the worst of the worst. He hung around, does anybody here work for the IRS? Just want to make sure. He hung around tax collectors. By the way, if you work for the IRS, if this is going out live stream, we bless the IRS in the Lord's name. But he hung around tax collectors. He hung around women of ill repute. Had chatter going on about Jesus. Caused rumors about Jesus. Because he hung around women of questionable, and even gave them value. And he spoke kindly to them and loved them graciously. Oh, and for the haughty religious who believe in going fishing in the sea called forget, the haughty judgmental. You know what he said to the religious of the day? You've heard me say it. You brood of vipers. That's what's consistent. Get to know him. Get to know what he says and his traits. If God is a priority to you, and I'll give you an example, you ought to get to know him. When I married Gina years ago, we didn't have cell phones. How many of you, I know what I'm talking about. We didn't have cell phones when we got married. Okay? When you wrote letters, it didn't go by email. It went by snail mail. U.S. Postal Service, right? That was communication back then. And Gina would write to me from the University of Missouri, and I would write back from International Hair Institute. You know, the people like you talking about being unequally yoked. Woo! I married the valedictorian of her high school class, and she didn't even marry the valedictorian of International Hair Institute. That's being unequally yoked. But I'm telling you, she'd write me letters, and one thing I learned quickly was when that phone rang. I couldn't tell who it was. That was even before caller ID. When I pick up the phone, I say, hello. Hi, baby. Oh, I knew who that was. You see, the one I love most, I fell in love with that voice. You get the picture here? I fell in love with that girl, and I knew that voice. She could have just said, hi. Oh, hi. Because I knew the voice of the one who loved me most. You get that? Where your treasures are, there your heart is also. You see, she's the one that loved me most. And I learned her voice, and I learned over the last 37 years things she would say to me. Sometimes they weren't good. Sometimes I deserved them big time. And I learned, okay, that's what she would say to me if I ever did that. One time, how much time? One time, just a year or two into our marriage, I was still singing with the quartet that I was singing with. We traveled around the Midwest, and we were at this church that we were doing our band practice. I had never been told anything like this before. We were all there. It was the group that I sang with. Some of you attended our reunion that we did after 19 years to raise money for a missions trip. So that was the group of guys that I was out till 3 in the morning with on the church parking lot. There weren't cell phones back then. There was no calling home and saying, hun, I'm at the church still. So when I got home about 3, I met Jesus at the door. She said, where have you been? Who asked that question in the garden? Okay, so I met God in the garden, the voice of authority. Where have you been? I didn't know where I was. I'm like, where? I was at church. Why didn't you call me and tell me before you left the building? I've got the state patrol looking for you, and your brother's out on Highway 270 from Dorset Road to Tesson Ferry driving up and down looking for your dead body. And anything less of that is not a good enough reason to come in at 3 o'clock in the morning. I met Jesus. And I realized something. Oh, that's what she would say to me if I arrived home at 3 o'clock in the morning, unannounced. But you see, sometimes God says, thou shalt not, and we tempt him to answer us. And he says, you see, he said to Eve and to Adam, don't touch that tree. Whatever you do, don't touch that tree. You can have everything else, don't touch that tree. They touched that tree, they ate that fruit, and God said, now you're going to get my Gina Ivy response. Where have you been? Let me tell you, we just need to get to know this God that should be very important. I'm going to wrap this up. I want to ask this just straight to you. How important really is God in your life? Is he number one or is he in the top 10? Because I'm going to share this with you, and I'm going to kill a lot of old teaching. I'm going to kill a lot of old teaching. If somebody taught you God is first, my family is second, church is third, then my job is fourth. By the way, you might want to flip those because that's arguable. So anyway, let me just shatter that whole thing. If God is number one in your life, your wife will never feel number two. If you're doing God right, you'll be doing your bride right. And she'll never have to wonder why she's number two. There's a lot of wives that were hurt in years past when their husbands were, quote unquote, in ministry. Because they always put the ministry first. I put God first. He's the one I gave my oath to. I got news. You did make a marriage covenant with that bride, did you not? It's the same covenant, kind of covenant you made with God. And this is what God's, this is just the truth. If you're living the God life, your wife will never feel second to anyone. Your children will never feel second to anyone. And I'll wrap it up with this story. Do you remember Nelson Sachs? Does anybody remember Nelson Sachs you do, Bob. Thank you. Down at, what was it? Berea Temple. Large, ran 1,200 at one time. Large church. And Nelson Sachs told us this story. There was about 6 of us in the room, and 2 of them were women getting ordained that day. And this is how he started the story. Gentlemen, it stayed with that. But anyway, again, Nelson's he's with the Lord today. But gentlemen, let me tell you something. He said, and he just told the truth. He said, years ago, When I was in ministry with my first wife, and I went, I didn't know that. That was information overload. I was like, I didn't know that. When I was in ministry with my first wife, he said, I was pastor at Berea Temple, the largest church in all of the St. Louis metro area, except for maybe Bethel Temple. And he said, and he started telling the story. We had never gone. I prided myself. I had never gone on a vacation. Never. Because you see, the work of the ministry was our life. And he's kind of mimicking himself. He's kind of making light of himself. He's not telling this, still believing this thought. But he said it was the number one in our life. God was number one. And my life there at the church was, that was it. And I'd never had a vacation in all the years I'd been there. And I don't know how long he was there, but he was there forever, long time, 20 years plus probably, easily, and if not more. And he said, my wife told me one day, could we take the kids on vacation? She asked me that, could we go on vacation? Honey, I don't know where we would get the time or the money to do that. And not long after that, a man in the church, a quite wealthy man, came up to him and said, he called him Pastor Sachs, I want to give you a gift. I want to send you and your family to 1 week at Disneyland. Now, back then, there was no Disney World. This was a Disneyland. So it tells you is in the 1970 back kind of era. He said, I want to send you and your family. He said, all expenses paid, Pastor. You've blessed me incredibly. So they spent months planning this trip to Disneyland with their two daughters, these little girls, and as they were getting closer within a couple months, the daughters started packing their suitcases and unpack. They'd pack and they'd unpack. You ever have kids that do that? You know, they're so excited about the trip. They're going to pack and they're going to unpack. And they did that for weeks. And this man, this deacon came to him. God bless every deacon. I was a deacon once. And what do I always say? And I repented. So anyway, this deacon came to him and he said, Pastor Sachs, my son is coming home from the Vietnam War. He's wanting to marry his fiance while he has 3 days and he'll be here during this week. He said, oh brother, I can't do that. I'm going to be in Florida on vacation at Disneyland with my children, my wife and my children. He said, Pastor Sachs, are you not the pastor of Berea Temple? Are you not the spiritual leader and the shepherd? When we need you, that is the call of God on your life. And he just chewed him royally. That was after church on a Sunday. Chewed him royally. Nelson Sachs flipped the switch to the vacation in his mind. He went home. He told his family, we can't go. He's right, honey. I'm the pastor of this church. I have to do this. We have to put the church first. We have to put God first. How many know that's two different things? We're there, right? The little girls unpacked their suitcases. Mama told them they unpacked. He said, I could hear them crying in their bedrooms. They weren't going to Disneyland. It's about a year after that. Nelson Sachs says, my wife died suddenly. It was a short-term illness, brain cancer. She was gone. And he said, my daughters, now they're a year older. They both came in to the bedroom to me alone. And said, Daddy, they were crying, we miss Mommy so much. He said, come here, babies. And he pulled them up into bed with him. And this is what came to him. I stole from my wife and my children the memories of their mother and daddy at Disneyland together, doing all kinds. I stole that. And I put something in place of my family. And I thought it was God, but it wasn't. How important is God in your life today? Because if God is number one, your family will never feel second. Net result, they'll know Jesus. They'll know the real Jesus. They'll spend eternity with Him. Heavenly Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you will so seek our hearts today. Seek our hearts today. Show us if there's any wicked way. Show if there's anything in our priority system that is wrong. Because anything other than you as the priority, the single most priority of our lives, anything other than that, God, we have just sinned greatly against you, and we need your grace greatly today. I ask you, Father, no one's looking around just for a moment. Today, God has really spoken to you. It's not Barry. God has spoken to you. God has shown you something about your priorities that maybe haven't been just where they should be, or they've been really way off, one of the two, and no one's looking around, and I'm not judging you, but if that's you, just raise your hand. There are times I've got all appendages raised really high. Just keep your hand up for a second. No one's looking around. If that's you today, okay, you can pull your hands down. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, that's an honest heart that's willing to say, yeah, that's me. And you don't judge them. It's your will not to judge anyone, but that we should all come to know you. And really, know you and prioritize you and value you and learn your voice so that when you speak to us, we actually know that it's you. And when the enemy speaks to us, we can actually know it's him. Because you don't accuse. You're the one who's saying, come to me, not go away from me. So, Father, I ask you in Jesus' name that you will so awaken within us a heart of love for you, a heart of worship, as Pastor Mike led us in, this heart of worship. We're coming back to a heart of worship where it's all about you, truly all about you, Jesus. Not about me. Not about me. As Pastor Carl came up and shared, it's not about me. It isn't about my wounds. It isn't about my sin. It is so about you. And I refuse to take the attention away from you. I'm giving you back my heart of worship today in the name of Jesus. And every believer said, amen. Give the Lord a huge hand. Will you do that?
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.